pro-life America at a crossroads? Can faithful Christians still vote for Donald Trump? Or have we been sidelined as our nation is handed over to the party of death? Plus, as Christians die in the Holy Land and the Vatican goes woke, it's open season on Christianity.
This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline.
So now what? Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Mapp. But before we get to that question, a quick reminder. Don't forget, the Remnant newspaper, the new one, is hot off the press. Got a lot of great stuff in this newspaper this week. Remember, if you haven't subscribed to this, please consider doing so. It's basically what, you know, keeps the lights on, keeps the cameras rolling here at Remnant TV as well. So I'd really appreciate it if you consider clicking the link down below there and subscribing to the Remnant newspaper. Now, what in the world is this?
My name's Wendy. I'm the current rector here, the 39th priest in a long line of people who have held the office of rector dating all the way back to the 12th century. Whether you're gay or straight, divorced three times or just celebrated your golden wedding anniversary, whether your life is really sorted or whether things are just hanging on by a thread, whatever part of the world you're from and wherever you call home, you will find a welcome here.
Was that a Vatican video? You're not really too sure, are you? In fact, full disclosure, it's not a Catholic video. But it's hard to tell these days, isn't it? The Vatican's Synod on Synodality gang are dreaming of a church that looks an awful lot like that. In fact, we're already mostly there.
I do think the church inherently is welcoming to everyone.
Christopher Browner is a practicing Catholic who also identifies as queer. He joined St. Paul the Apostle Roman Catholic Church on the Upper West Side because he says it's a place he and many others in the LGBTQ community feel welcome. Father Rick is the pastor at St. Paul the Apostle, which is also part of the Archdiocese of New York.
I think we're missing so much when we say no because of what you're doing in your bedroom. I feel, oh, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm, yes. Now that actually is a Catholic church. That's a Catholic so-called priest, Catholic video. What's going on in the Catholic Church today, friends, from the top all the way down, is they're bending over backwards to remove the stigma from this Luciferian social disease. And the reality is, friends, because of this, it's all coming crashing down. The Catholic Church, in her human element, is on life support. I don't know, people don't want to hear that. They want to dig in and defend this whole thing. It's been this way for a long, long time, long before Francis. But because the Catholic Church is becoming a joke in her human element, I always say, the divine element is fine, the church triumphant is fine, but down here in the real world, in the human element, the church is becoming a joke. And because of that, the entire world is blowing up around us. Because the Catholic Church has lost its moral compass. Because starting again at the top, at the Vatican, the fish rots at the head, right? Catholics no longer believe in their own moral theology. They don't believe in their own church anymore. And if you don't believe in your own church, nobody else is going to either, which is why the church is literally on life support. We're going to get to all of that in a moment tonight, but first, a word about tonight's sponsor, which is Charity Mobile, America's pro-life phone company. Sign up with Charity Mobile today. No contracts. You get a free phone, free hookup, and a portion of your monthly payment goes to the pro-life, pro-family charity of your choice, including the Remnant Foundation. Just go to charitymobile.com/RTV. Use the code RTV at checkout, and we're good to go. Again, that's charitymobile.com/RTV and use the code RTV at checkout. So, Donald Trump, abortion, pro-life America, the upcoming election. The problem that we face, friends, at the end of the day, is not really, not first and foremost, political. It is, as we always say down here, it's spiritual. It's moral. We're at a moral crossroad, a moral dilemma. What Donald Trump is doing on abortion, we started at the top of the show with what's being really criticized by a number of former supporters of Trump. What he's doing on abortion is a political maneuver. It's a political move, and I think it's a pretty smart one, politically speaking. I'm not commenting yet on the morality of it. I'm talking about politics. It's a smart move, which is why, by the way, the demons on the left are positively rending their garments over it.
I mean, it's so stupid. It's difficult to get tricked. I mean, he's just...
It is so stupid.
So stupid.
We had a Republican on this show, I'm not going to name his name, and neither is Mika, where we kept pressing and asking, how many abortions are performed in the third trimester? How many? I don't know. Well, yeah, you don't know because it's like next to zero. But Donald Trump lies.
What we're looking at, friends, is politics, the ugly visage of politics in post-Christian America. And the unholy, incredibly, even today, with all the ways of preventing conception and everything else that they're doing in terms of perversion, sexual perversion, still, the unholy blood sacrament of abortion is front and center for these sophisticated people. A little dead baby, still, in 2024, a little dead baby. In fact, millions of dead babies are the political footballs in America, progressive, enlightened America. We want to kill all the babies. Well, we want to kill only some of the babies. That's the nature of the national discourse, the political debate right now. But no matter what happens, friends, the blood of babies must be spilled. Why is this? How can this not be an unholy sacrament, a demonic sacrament, blood sacrifice to some evil entity, right? Why are we still talking about abortion? It's incredible. Of all the things that could be discussed, abortion leads the pack. Now, Donald Trump's position on abortion, going back to 2016, was always political. We all knew this. Remember, we talked so much about this. So hopefully this guy can buy a little time for people to wake up. And guess what? As we've been documenting down here for a long time, last few years, lots and lots and lots and lots of people are waking up. We're going to have a few more examples of that tonight. So it is kind of working. You get a president up there who can slow this New World Order thing down. People are waking up. So it's worth a try, isn't it? But nobody ever mistook Donald Trump for the late, great Joe Scheidler, for example, the Pro-Life Action League, right? We all knew that. Trump did one thing. He agreed to stand with pro-life America in 2016, and guess what? It worked. He won the election. He became president of the United States, and Roe versus Wade was ultimately overturned. But, by 2020, as the regime in the Vatican, by the way, roared on, by 2020 and certainly by 2022, the situation had changed. And Trump discovered the hard way that Christianity, the Christian voting bloc in America, is no longer the political force it once was, even as recent as 2016. And this is thanks in large measure, again, to the woke regime inside the Vatican, which is far more concerned about the death of the planet than the death of babies, than the abortion holocaust, right? You say, oh, that's not true. Oh, really? Where are all the encyclicals on abortion? Where's Francis's clarion call to save the babies of the world? Like he's always out there trying to save our common home, right? What about the babies? What about millions and millions and millions of dead babies? Not so much. Which means, friends, isn't an indicator that the moral authority of the Catholic Church is becoming negligible under this guy. Let me give you an example. I live in a blue state. A state, by the way, which is founded by Catholics, Catholic priests, incredibly. And to this day, the skyline of our capital city here, dotted with churches and a massive cathedral erected by some of the most powerful churchmen in American history. A very, very Catholic town, St. Paul, Minnesota, right? A long time ago, before Vatican II. And yet there is no question in my mind that Donald Trump's pro-life stance cost the Republicans the midterm elections here in Minnesota and everywhere else. Where was the Catholic Church? Where was the influence of the once mighty Catholic Church? Now, Trump, he appointed the pro-life justices that gave us the Dobbs decision, didn't he? A Dobbs decision that sent abortion back to the states, which is what conservatives had been at least trying to achieve for a long time as a place to start, right? During COVID, we saw the power of the states to some extent returned, restored, and you had governors who were far more sane in the red states about COVID and about masks and about vaccines and about mandates than they were out in the blue states, right? So there is an argument to be made that states' rights will protect sane people. Here in Minnesota, again, at the midterms, before the 2022 midterms, all day, every day, 24/7, radio, TV, the internet, you know, just was constant. The bloodthirsty Democrats flooding our community with fear-mongering over one issue, killing babies, women losing their right to choose. Oh, God help us, we're going to lose our right to choose. And it worked. You know, here, and I'm sure in other blue states in 2022, it was so diabolical that you couldn't help but wonder, was the Dobbs decision itself some sort of a Trojan horse? Because it really benefited the Democrat Party, didn't it? Now, the party of death is gearing up to do the exact same thing, only now at the presidential level in November. Now, he's got to face this. We got to talk about this. That's what's going to happen. What do you want to do about it? Anything? Then, in coming up to this election, again, the blood of the unborn is the rocket fuel. So, yeah, Trump is repositioning himself to take the abortion nuclear option away from these demons. But if he wins, we already know what he's going to do. So this is really an important distinction about this idea of lip service. Because we got lip service, didn't we? We got lip service from GOP presidential candidates for a long, long time. I always say every single one of the pro-life Republican presidents had a pro-abortion wife. What are the chances of that being real? No, it was politics, right? But this case now, since Trump lost the election, now he's trying to come back, this is different. We know, for example, that Donald Trump will stand with pro-life America because he already did, and he's going to do so again.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of Roe v. Wade. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable.
Now, like it or not, that's far more Catholic. That's far closer to the Catholic position than Joe the Catholic Biden, right, than he has. If Joe the Catholic Biden wins, this is what's going to happen.
If you, the American people, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
Wherever you come down on Trump's political maneuvering right now on this issue, what do you think this is all about?
After Trump's announcement, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina telling reporters that former president was, quote, making a mistake and that he, quote, respectfully disagrees with Trump's assertion that abortion is a states' rights issue. In response to that, Donald Trump unloaded on his old buddy Lindsey Graham. In one post, he wrote, I blame myself for Lindsey Graham because the only reason he won in the great state of South Carolina is because I endorsed him. Senator Lindsey Graham should spend more time focusing on all the many people being killed because of our now non-existent border and the millions of people dying in senseless, never-ending wars that he constantly favors and promotes, adding, great job, Lindsey.
Oh, come on. This is neocon warmonger Lindsey, right? The guy who wants to make a parking lot out of Palestine, the Gaza Strip, right? I mean, I certainly hope that Lindsey Graham is just that pro-life. This is just bothering him so much, he has to intervene. But you know what? I kind of doubt it. And let's not forget that Lindsey Graham, the insufferable Lindsey Graham, came out before the 2022 elections, also the midterms, also, and he galvanized the Democrats by doing what? By doing the very same thing he's doing right now.
This afternoon, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham introduced a bill that would institute a federal ban on abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Now, first of all, Republicans have literally spent decades saying that abortion was a states' rights issue. When they talked about Roe, the sentence almost always ended in "send the decision back to the states." But now, 55 days before the midterms, Senator Graham has decided to shift the Republican Party line on abortion rather dramatically. Here he is last month.
I think states should decide the issue of marriage and states should decide the issue of abortion.
Democrats heard that and were like, okay, there's our ad for the midterms. Just use the whole thing.
Yeah, a lot of people are arguing, but Graham is right. I mean, come on, we need a national ban on abortion. Yes, we do. But politically, you got to ask yourself the question, why is warmonger Lindsey suddenly running around like Mother Cabrini? Why is the guy that wants to torch the Palestinians and blow the hell out of Russia, why is he suddenly so worried about the children and about abortion? Doesn't this just seem a little bizarre? So let's take another example of what Lindsey, what he might be up to. What if Lindsey Graham, for example, decided he's going to make pornography the issue of this election? This is the big issue of this election, pornography. We got to stop pornography. What if he tried to convince us we can't vote for any candidate who wouldn't promise, who refuses to promise to abolish pornography and nudity from all R-rated movies in America, from the internet, okay? Because I really care about the kids. Well, that would surely be a good Catholic issue to get behind, right? I mean, pornography contributes to many societal ills, many evils in society, including abortion. But why is Lindsey doing it? Why would he be doing it? Lindsey Graham would effectively, right, be taking the Catholics out of the voting population, right, by hanging them on an issue that's never going to work, never going to pass. He's virtually guaranteeing a victory for the Democrats. Again, over an issue that's never going to fly anyway. And people say, yeah, but Lindsey Graham, I mean, this national ban is pro-life, is it? Is it pro-life? What is he talking about? 15 weeks, he wants to have a ban, and he can't have abortion, and then I want to get anesthesia to the kids when we kill them at 15 weeks. This isn't a pro-life position either. So what's going on here, friends? It's a distinction without a difference. Seems to me Trump might be being played again, kind of like this gang, the Warp Speed gang, played him once before. Because what Trump is actually trying to do, and again, I'm not stumping for him. I'm just trying to have a conversation here, a conversation that we all need to have because our civil liberties, our freedom, our children depend on it. Because if Trump gets in, we might come out of the World Health Organization and their pandemic preparedness treaties. If Trump gets in, we might have a border again. If Trump gets in, certainly abortion is not going to make any advances. Right? If Trump gets in, a lot of good things are going to happen. If Trump gets in, that war in Ukraine is over like tomorrow, right? Day one. And Lindsey Graham doesn't want that, does he? So what's he trying to do? Trump's trying to get elected. Okay, that's Trump. He's not a Catholic. He's a nominal Christian at best. How pro-life is he? You tell me. But he's willing to stand with the pro-lifers, and that's why it becomes interesting. And that's why it becomes a conversation that we need to have. He's trying to get past this abortion issue that's being used like a millstone around his neck to sink his chances of getting reelected, right? He's trying to get past abortion, not so that, here's the distinction. Here is the distinction, friends. We've seen politicians give lip service in the past. They get into office, they do exactly nothing to save the lives of babies. Well, here's the difference. We already know what Trump will do when he gets in, if he gets in, because we know what he did when he got in the past, right? He did do things like stand on the mall with pro-lifers and show the whole world the American president actually, even if he's just pretending, he's actually pretending to be pro-life. This is a massive thing. If he gets in, more babies are going to be saved during his presidency rather than be wiped out during his presidency. He wants to try to win this election ultimately because pro-lifers will see in him someone who's going to save babies. We need to look at it carefully. He already proved what he's going to do. The question is, what are we going to do? Or I guess the question is, what can we do? This is what I said last time. We need competent moral theologians to look at this because this is a precedent-setting case. We've never had this before. How many times has a president made a comeback like this? Certainly not in the post-Roe versus Wade era, right? So this is a very interesting and a very dangerous crossroads that we find ourselves at. And we got to be smart. Again, political lip service usually leads to more abortions. But in Trump's case, from 2016 to 2020, we saw just the opposite. We saw that just the opposite happen. So again, Father Moral Theologian, where are you? Given that Trump is a known political entity who has already proved himself on this issue, what are Catholics supposed to do? What are we to make of his political compromise in this case, which actually means that many more preborn babies will live in America rather than die? Are we absolutely sure we're right on this? If we decide we're not going to vote for him because of this apparent political compromise? Maybe. I've sat elections out before. I'll do it again if competent moral theologians can prove to me that that's what's required of us as Christians, as Catholics. Because the way I see it, our God is not the Lord of gotchas. He's not going to damn us to hell simply because we tried as parents, as men and women of faith, because we tried to go with the political candidate who will save more babies, who will block measures to castrate our children, right? Protect our civil liberties, to protect our country's national sovereignty. But he can't do any of that if he never gets in, if he never gets elected. So he's not becoming a Democrat. People say, well, you can't, you know, sound like a Democrat just so you can win. No, he's not becoming a Democrat. He's trying to win this thing so he can undo the Democrats on a lot of these issues, including a national abortion mandate. Well, think about it. Think about it. And this is precisely why now they're very worried about this compromise on the left. The demons, they're worried. In fact, the worst Christophobes in the world want Donald Trump in jail right now, not in the Oval Office. And we got to ask why. Why is it? If he's just another Democrat who's a phony and a fraud and nothing's going to change on abortion or anything else, why are they fighting so hard to get rid of him? Why are they fighting so hard to put him in jail? I hate to talk like this because I'm not stumping for Trump, as I say. But we really do have, as Catholics, we really have to decide, what's our role here? What are we going to do? What part do we play? Are we really going to consign ourselves to the bleachers and just be spectators and be at the will of these monsters, these Christophobic zombies in the Democrat Party running around like something out of Night of the Living Dead, just craving the blood of babies? Can we have this discussion? Because quite honestly, I don't want to hear from the Never Trumpers. I already know what you guys are going to say. You said it last time, too. That was before Roe v. Wade got overturned, remember? You said it was never going to happen. I don't want to hear from the Never Trumpers, nor do I want to hear from the Donald Trump is God. He is the second coming. He's the Messiah. Because that's crazy talk, too. Donald Trump is what he is. I'm looking for a far more nuanced conversation here, one based on sound moral principles, one based on moral theology. People interject again. Donald Trump is going soft on the LGBT issue as well. And you know what? You're right. But again, where is this guy, this former host of TV's The Apprentice, this Manhattan businessman, where is he supposed to get the moral chops to hold the Christian morality, the Christian ground on that question when the Pope himself is out there calling for the blessing of gay couples? You see, this is why we always come back to the problem in the world, in politics, is in Rome. That's the big problem we face. It's not in Washington. It's in Rome. Because think about it. Marriage, right now, a lot of talk about marriage and blessing gay couples and gay unions and all this stuff. Marriage, for the vast majority of Americans, and let's just be honest about this, it really has become little more than a sort of cute blessing, a little ceremony, officiated by a lay person pretending to be a bishop or pretending to be a priest or pretending to be some sort of a minister, right? But has no actual orders, right? So the state has, follow me on this, because this is a key distinction. The state has already legalized same-sex marriage. You get it? I mean, so guess what? When the Vatican says that they want gay unions blessed, but priests should bless same-sex couples, right? Those couples are already married in the eyes of the state. So it doesn't matter if the Vatican says, well, this is not to be confused with marriage. Thank you, Holiness. Thank you, Eminence. Thank you, Excellencies. But these people are already married. You know, so who's paying attention to that great big Vatican moral distinction? That this is not the same as marriage. That's politics, friends. That's political maneuvering on the part of the Vatican. Many of these couples are already married. And what they want is they want a blessing, an absolution, a blessing from the Catholic Church that everything is fine. That's what they want. And the world's got that message loud and clear, hasn't they? Haven't they? The Catholic Church approves gay unions. That's all. That's as far as they go. They don't go any further. They're not looking into the theological nuances. You know, so would Donald Trump then, would he die on that hill? Why should he? When even the Pope is saying, lighten up, man, love is love. Why would Donald Trump? Why would we expect Donald Trump to take the high ground when the Pope isn't? The ground that the Pope is abandoning a little bit more every day. Pope Francis, in fact, is single-handedly canceling the Christian moral foundations of any conservative platform moving forward. And he's doing that by subtly and not so subtly undermining the church's teaching, undermining the Bible-based positions on life and on family, even on sovereignty now. So Christianity as a political force is being systematically dismantled. So much so that liberal politicians can afford to thumb their nose at it. They can just summarily ignore Christianity, the Christian moral code, while conservatives, on the other hand, can no longer rely on it. And that's what Trump found out in 2022. You can't rely on it. Christianity is being so watered down now that he can't rely on it as a political backing, a political force. So this, friends, is the trickle-down. This is the trickle-down effect of the Francis woke revolution. In the 2022 midterm elections, Christian America couldn't even defeat the party of death headed up by an apostate and senile Catholic. Pretty terrifying. So what do you think is going to happen this time around when the Pope is out there now blessing gay couples like a Las Vegas Justice of the Peace on Valentine's Day? What do you think is going to happen? Is Trump seriously expected to be more Catholic than the Pope? Donald Trump, you want him to be more Catholic than the Pope, lose the election, and hand our country and your children over to the most Christophobic mob in the history of the world? How's that lining up for you? Making sense yet? Because it's not to me. And again, I'm not stumping for Trump. I'm just saying, holy cow. What are we going to do here? I'm just looking at the cold, hard reality. A reality which leaves Christians out of the political discourse, of course, but also it leaves Christians worldwide defenseless against persecution. Because who's going to defend faithful Christians against Christophobic political regime crackdowns? Who's going to defend us? Pope, who am I to judge? In 2015, Francis already denounced us for hiding behind the church's teachings. You remember that one? Hiding behind the teachings of the church, moral teachings, in order to sit in the chair of Moses and judge others. That's what we can expect from the Holy One. And then just last week, Francis signs this new declaration called Dignitatis Infinita, which, apart from slanderously mistranslating Pope John Paul II in its very title, put a link down here below from a priest who's exposed this, it's a mistranslation on purpose, apparently. Aside from doing that, it also promotes the blasphemy that Jesus will judge us all solely on whether or not we've acted with kindness to our neighbors. My friend and columnist Robert Morrison has got a great piece on that over at thenewspaper.com. It'll be in the newspaper next week as well, physical newspaper. Because what this is heresy, of course. And welcome to the Brotherhood of Man. Just how you treat your neighbors. That's going to be how Jesus judges us. See what's happening? No moral code, no Ten Commandments, no precepts of the church, right? No capital sins. Come on. We've grown up. This document, by the way, also makes the false claim that human dignity is infinite. It's right there in the title, which is nonsense unless you're Martin Luther and you think that sin doesn't somehow diminish your human dignity over time, which of course it does. So how can it be infinite? So what are they talking about? And during a press conference, by the way, on this new declaration, the author of this heterodox pile of bile, Cardinal, the art of kissing, Fernandez, I mean, maybe it's not the art of kissing, but it's something like that, I think.
Heal me with your mouth.
Heal me with your mouth. Whatever it is, it's disgusting. Cardinal Fernandez, he comes out there at a press conference and he suggests that the church needs to, you know, change the catechism's words intrinsically disordered in reference to homosexual acts. Yeah, you see, that's not really what we mean anymore. We need some new words. So all of you Pope-splainers out there, you dorky Pope-splainers with the giant microphones, here you go. Here you go. And people are saying, yeah, but I mean, the document also says that we shouldn't be castrating children. It's fantastic. Which, can you believe this? The Pope saying that we probably shouldn't be castrating kids is now a conservative tenet, conservative, which is so darn orthodox that it comes as a surprise to people when the Pope signs on to it.
The Big Father, the Pope, has issued an edict this week speaking about the gender problem and saying it's a no on gender ideology and on the surgical transitioning for kids and others. And to me, this seems like just sort of the written down version of what he's been saying all along, but it does, for once and for all, answer the question of, is the Pope Catholic? The answer is yes. This Pope is, as it turns out, Catholic. What do you make of it?
Well, that's always been a rhetorical question, hasn't it? Is the Pope Catholic? But in more recent years, it's been a genuine question. People have been quite concerned.
Well, isn't that nice? But let's not lose track. Transgender people, according to Francis, can also be godparents. It's fine. Trans people can be witnesses at Catholic weddings, according to His Holiness. In Francis Church, your best man, did you know this? Your best man can actually be your best woman. Just depends on how you look at it and how you identify.
35 years ago, it was very difficult. My sexuality was not really accepted. But today, with these new rules that Pope Francis has put out, it seems to me such an evolutionary thing.
The Pope recently wrote transgender people can be baptized if there's no risk of generating public scandal or confusion. He's also clarified the Church's position on transgender godparents and wedding witnesses.
Yeah, so, you know, when it comes to this new declaration, which is it, Francis? What's it going to be, buddy? I know you're modernist and 2 + 2 = 5 half the time, or it might. Black isn't always black. White isn't always white. We can have two contrary concepts going on at the same time in our mind with no problem. It's kind of a Luciferian insanity. I get it. You're able to do this. The rest of us are kind of scratching our heads, You know, in the last Vatican word salad document, Fiducia Supplicans, for example, remember when Francis said that same-sex marriage is not going to happen, not on my watch, forget about it. You remember that? But on the other hand, the church does need to bless same-sex couples, many of whom, as we just pointed out, are already married. But he says, this is not to be confused with marriage. Okay, Francis, just how stupid do you think we are, buddy? Bottom line is this, friends. The civilizing voice of Christianity, which is our only defense against chaos and barbarism and the end of civilization, the end of history, the civilizing voice of Christianity is being canceled, being silenced Well, Francis now and his globalist friends are coming right out and admitting that they're building the replacement, a new order, a brand new order that will make the one that Hitler and Stalin had in mind look like the Truman Show.
So. Why? Because in order to open an account, you need to have an ID.
Right.
And I have to say that when I started this job, there were actually very little countries in Africa or Latin America that had one ubiquitous type of ID, and certainly that it was digital, and certainly that it was biometric. And we've really worked with all our partners to actually help that being, to grow this. And the interesting part of it is that, you know, yes, it is very necessary for financial services, but not only.
Sure.
You know, it's also good for school enrollment. It's also good for health, who actually got a vaccination or not. It's very good to actually get your subsidies, you know, from the government. So this has not only effect to the financial services. So it's a very important issue.
Oh, goody. A biometric digital ID. Doesn't that sound fun? So they can enforce vaccination. I don't know if they're stupid or not paying attention or just demons, lizard people. Because in the real world, the mask has come on. In the real world, this is happening.
Pfizer bringing discredit on the pharmaceutical industry is the headline. Now, the panel, and we'll talk about the panel in a minute, ruled a breach of the following clauses of the 2019 code. So Pfizer apparently has breached these codes. I mean, who would have thought it? Breach of clause 2, bringing discredit upon and reduce confidence in the pharmaceutical industry. Breach of clause 3.1. Promoting an unlicensed medicine. Well, imagine that, promoting an unlicensed medicine. This is Pfizer we're talking about. You would have thought they would be squeaky clean, wouldn't you?
God bless John Campbell. My gosh, that guy's been a warrior. He's been a warrior bringing this stuff to millions, the attention of millions. So it's getting late, we're out of time, but let's just review. The Catholic Church has now officially entered clown world, with Francis out there, still, even after what we just saw from Dr. Campbell, still out there saying that refusing the jab is a suicidal act of denial. There's been no apology from Francis for the fact that he pushed this stuff which now Pfizer itself is kind of going, let's take another look at that, because maybe it was a bit hasty. Right? Francis pushed it. Where's his apology? And then the World Economic Forum wants to lock us down into a biometric digital ID nightmare. And these guys are friends of Pope Francis. He works with them at Davos every year, sends Peter Turkson or somebody else to represent the Vatican over there with those guys. And meanwhile, friends, while the whole world looks on, the whole Christian world looks on and roots for the other side, Christians, our Christian brothers and sisters, are being wiped out right now in the Holy Land.
If you wake up in the morning and decide that your Christian faith requires you to support a foreign government blowing up churches and killing Christians, I think you've lost the thread. Just to end on this, if you had a message for Christian leaders in the United States, whether in government or in churches or just citizens who care about the religion and their fellow Christians, what would it be?
My message to Christian leaders right now is, there is a very, very brutal war taking place in Gaza, a war that I described using the word genocide, because it's a war that has used even starvation as a mean. And fellow Christians are suffering because of that war.
Yeah. By the way, we were making that same case 6 months ago with that very same Lutheran pastor, who, God bless him, is one of the few who's speaking out. So that's what's been going on, you know? And then you got these crazy Christian Zionist folks who are actually cheerleading for this. I mean, if I'm a Jewish guy and I run into one of these Christian Zionist people who are saying, yeah, we need to get back to the whole Israel thing, because when the rapture comes, there's going to be a huge deal. And I know millions of Jews are going to be killed according to the prophecy, but what the heck, man, it's going to be fantastic for us. If I were a Jewish guy, I would say, thank you very much, Mr. Nutty Christian Zionist, but no thank you. Have a nice weekend. Stay away from me. Right? This is how crazy Christianity is getting at every level now that the Pope has gone bonkers and has gone bonkers for some time. It's literally open season on Christianity. Not just the bodies, not just the bodies of Christians, not just the towns of Christians, the countries of Christians are being displaced all over the world, right? But now it's open season on Christianity, even on the theological level. You get to say whatever you want against Christian theology.
But they try to link JC to King David. Why? What's the urge? Because it's written in Judaism, Mashiach ben David. The Messiah must come from the family of David. So they try to prove that JC is Father Joseph, the carpenter. Joseph the carpenter met Miriam, Yosef and Miriam, two Jewish people. They got engaged, meaning Chuppah and Kiddushin. This Miriam waited by her parents for her prince, charming Yosef, but he went and came back after a few months and he saw that she gained some weight. Said to her, listen, I mean, I know your mother is a very good cook, but come on, I mean, what's going on here? She said, no, don't worry, Yosef. Ah, come on, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant, I never lay a finger on you. What do you mean you're pregnant? Ah, come on, you suspect such a kosher rebbetzin like me. Don't worry, God came to me in a dream. He made me pregnant, and I'm going to have the Messiah. That's Christianity. 2 billion people follow this nonsense. Christmas, lights, Santa. All of that, fake illusion. Complete fake illusion.
He's a Jew, and that's what Jews believe. So guess what? I don't blame him for insulting God nearly as much as I blame Team Francis for having made such a joke out of Christianity, right? That nobody is even trepidatious about insulting the hell out of us, insulting our religion, insulting our church, insulting God the Father, assaulting Jesus Christ, assaulting now the Mother of God. It doesn't matter. You get to do whatever you want. And there's going to be no pushback whatsoever from the new Church of Accompaniment, which stands for nothing and falls for everything. Bottom line, if even the Pope doesn't take Christianity seriously, why should this guy? Besides, the Jews aren't the ones who are uncrowning Christ the King. They never accepted him as king in the first place. The bishops are uncrowning. The Vatican is uncrowning him. Donald Trump isn't betraying Christ the King. Joe, the Catholic Biden, is. The FBI isn't denying Christ the King. The Vatican is. And this is why everyone, friend, every one of us who makes the claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be Christian, every one of us has a duty before God and before history and before our children to stand up now, to stand up today, right now, to proclaim Christ as King and to beg Him, to beg Him to forgive us our sins and save us from the fires of hell.